Next case, Donner versus City of Rockford.
My name is Renee Hernandez. I represent the appellant, Mr. Donner, in this case. By now, I'm sure all of you have read the brief that we have submitted. And one of the emphasis I would like to set forth here is the facts of this case. We have William Donner, longtime police officer since 1972. He was promoted in 1985. The only transgression that you could find for Mr. Donner during the course of his employment as a police officer is that he had the unfortunate to become sick and to become sick with MS, which became debilitating, so much to the point that his use of his legs was gone. He had to utilize a wheelchair, and he still does today. Throughout the course of his employment, he's always performed his job satisfactorily. There's been no contestant, and the defendant readily concedes that. In 1992/1993, during the course of his employment as an officer, while he was ill and suffering from his MS, his supervisor, Deputy Chief Sparrow, would put him in a position, which they did on their own, and they called it permanent light duty, but nonetheless, he was put in a position where he did inside investigative work on behalf of the police department. Inside investigative work indicated he was talking to witnesses, preparing reports, collecting evidence, basically getting the case ready so that it could be prosecuted at the next level. He did this, and no one had any complaints with the work he was doing. He did this for 3 years, until 1996, when the chief of the police, Fitzpatrick, decides that Mr. Donner has to go. And you either have a choice. You can resign, or you're going to be terminated. Well, prior to that letter actually being issued to my client actually sent a formal letter to both Fitzpatrick and Deputy Chief Sparrow indicating his desire to be accommodated so that he can do something for the police department, so that if there's some reasonable accommodation out there, you'd like to give me a shot. Well, that never occurred. Chief Fitzpatrick completely precluded Mr. Donner from having any opportunity to discuss any alternative, any job restructuring, any job accommodation whatsoever.
Is there any discovery in this case about what other police departments or military organizations like that do? Are there people in wheelchairs working in the Chicago Police Department as police officers?
There was. To the extent that we found some case law, yes, but to the extent in this case for discovery, I don't believe that that's the case. Individualized discovery going to other police departments and what the practice is with other police departments, I don't believe that that's a part of our record. And the interesting point here is that Chief Fitzpatrick, by his own admission and his own deposition, indicates that, you know, we just don't do that. He did not consider accommodations. It wasn't part of the formula we used. Period. No discussion. Nothing. Absolutely. We just want you gone, is what you conclude from Mr. Fitzpatrick. What do we know about the police department? Well, a police department not only has its paramilitary force, which has to operate in the street, but it also has a civilian-type component, which is the administrative component, which provides the services to the general public. Not all of it is with gun and handcuffs. We must, that police department, as in our society, our democratic society, must provide services which deal with the public. And a lot of that is inside administrative work. We were able to demonstrate through my own client's testimony and the work he was doing. He worked in the DARE program, gang presentations. He was able to do that effectively. There was positions such as the information desk at public safety building, work at the evidence room, clerical support positions, property control, research development, records, training, and recruitment.
You can see, though, that his job description included this arresting suspects and that sort of thing. And that was required of everybody to be in that job, you had to fit that job description.
I can see that that's what they put in a written formula and said this is what we require.
Well, that was before. They didn't put that in just to get Mr. Donner.
No, not, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that in the actual usage of the actual position by officers, the reality is that it wasn't that job. You can characterize that as marginal function, because in this particular case, with these administrative tasks, that's all they were. They weren't essential functions of the job. And I quote that, or I try to put that in my brief, where, and I rely on EEOC guidelines, which tell us that if it truly is an essential function, that's different. Here, it's a marginal function.
Did he have access to a list of all open positions or those being created in the job description?
No, he would never have that access. All this.
So how could he identify any specific vacant position?
He couldn't, because he was precluded from it by Fitzpatrick, the chief. By having absolutely no dialogue whatsoever, he had no idea that there was any option other than he was going to be terminated and have forced to leave his employment.
Is it fair to say that it was a difference between a sworn officer with arrest powers and the type of officers or employees you're describing that would work in the evidence room or other positions? Is that a fair distinction?
They're sworn officers. They're both sworn and non-sworn, but the officers in these positions are in fact sworn officers. They're individuals who perform nothing but administrative tasks.
They don't unions insist on that, though. Yeah. They don't want to diminish the pay or the prestige of a police officer by banning these other non-street type arrest type jobs as actual police work.
I think that's a reasonable assumption here. I don't know that we put that into evidence, but I think that it's a reasonable assumption on the record we have. Reality is they don't do any field work. They don't make arrests. They don't get involved in felony work, as it's suggested by the defendant that this is integral and such an integral part of what they're doing. It's just not true. So when you consider that, and you say that it's more of a marginal function, then my client absolutely is qualified to do something for this police department, but he was completely foreclosed. It never happened. He never had an opportunity to even discuss it with anybody because that opportunity was foreclosed. Never discussed by anybody in the administration and his bosses. I believe that we did demonstrate there were vacant positions, and my client was qualified for them. I do have a little time that I would like to save in rebuttal, and I'll return after Mr. Partridge is done.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Partridge.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court, counsel? I'm Kerry Partridge. I represent the City of Rockford in this case.
Could you answer the same question that I asked about whether or not the information was available to him, because the problem seems to be that he failed to identify a specific vacant position for which he was qualified. But if no list is available to him, that's a real catch-22.
There's a very easy answer to that, Your Honor. First of all, there's no evidence in the record as to this particular point, but all job openings in the City of Rockford are posted in every department, and that comes out on a weekly basis. So at the time of this employment decision, Mr. Donner would have had access to all job postings at that time. Also, all he would have had to have done was simply call the personnel department. They would have been able to tell him what was open and what the qualifications were for those positions. Your Honors, the plaintiff has to prove a prima facie case here. One, they have to show that he has a disability, and two, that he's a qualified individual, and three, that he was subject to unlawful discrimination. We don't dispute that Mr. Donner was disabled. However, we do dispute that he was a qualified individual with a disability. The record shows that the plaintiff admitted that he could not perform the essential functions of a police officer. The plaintiff also has the burden of showing that a reasonable accommodation existed. And I think your honors have taken a look at transfer, or at least counsel has raised this as a possible reasonable accommodation. But it's the plaintiff's burden to show that there was a vacant position and the plaintiff was qualified for that position. Now, counsel has talked about a litany of jobs in the police department, say evidence clerk or dare detective, one of these types of jobs. However, your honors, the plaintiff has not shown that any of those positions were vacant, and I think actually there's testimony in the record that they weren't vacant. I believe that either Chief Fitzpatrick or Chief Nielsen testified that there were no sworn positions open at the time of this employment decision. Now, counsel put an affidavit in the record after fact discovery had closed to show that six new police officers were sworn in. However, as the record reflects, Mr. Doner was not qualified for any of these positions because the department doesn't have a policy of permanent light duty. And I believe Your Honor asked a question earlier, what do other departments do? In my brief, I cite Wheeler versus Illinois Department of Corrections, and I believe the Department of Corrections has a similar policy. The district court cited to the Wheeler case in particular because in that case the plaintiff was physically unable to perform as a corrections officer. And the district court noted in that opinion that the plaintiff couldn't perform the physical aspects of the job, including possibly restraining inmates in riot situations and different types of emergency situations.
Are they asked to leave their desks to go and restrain inmates? Is this part of Rockford?
Your Honor, Mr. Doner was a detective. I believe he worked either in the general case unit or the burglary unit at the time of the employment decision. Now, yes, as a burglary detective, you have to go out and arrest the subject of the burglary investigation. There's no doubt about that. And it's hard for me to conceive of a detective who doesn't actually arrest people. It's one thing to do casework, possibly for someone else, but the longstanding practice in the police department in Rockford is you work up your own case, you get your arrest, you go to the state attorney's office, and you authorize charges. And Mr. Doner fully admitted that's part of the job, is to go out and arrest and apprehend suspects. And in fact, Your Honor, he even admitted that in the past he's had to wrestle with suspects while he was a detective, while he was in the burglary unit or another unit. So that's something that is definitely required of a police officer. Your Honor, the reasonable accommodation angle that the plaintiff is trying to use here, the police officer positions Mr. Doner was not qualified for, unfortunately because of his MS. They also cite that there were 34 vacant positions throughout the city of Rockford. Counsel also has not shown that Mr. Doner was qualified for any of those positions. As you can imagine, in the city of Chicago and the city of Rockford, we have many positions that require a great deal of physical labor, the ability to lift over 20, 40 pounds. Also, some of our jobs require college degrees, which Mr. Doner did not have, or maybe even an advanced degree. I'm a city employee. I have to have a law degree to perform my job. So it's not a given that because there were 34 positions open, that any of those Mr. Doner was qualified for. And Your Honors, it is the plaintiff's burden of proof to show that Mr. Doner was qualified for those positions.
Are all desk positions in Rockford non-sworn officers?
Your Honor, the city policy is, the Rockford Police Department has policy is that all sworn police officers have to be capable of making a physical arrest. We have a festival called On the Waterfront Festival. Every sworn police officer is required to work the streets on that particular festival. We only have about 290 sworn officers, and this is a major festival in Rockford. That's one example where every sworn officer goes out and works the streets. We had a KKK rally at one point in Rockford. every sworn officer was required to work that rally as well. So that is the policy of the Rockford Police Department. There is no policy of permanent light duty. We have a light duty policy. Chief Fitzpatrick testified as to that, basically saying that after 6 months they take a look at whether or not this person or police officer is going to be able to return to work.
What's the non-sworn employees of the police department, are there radio evidence clerks? What are they?
They're basically clerk positions, Your Honor, secretarial positions. Some are report clerks that look up police reports and that sort of thing. I believe there are a lot more sworn officers in the department than there are actual clerks. And of course they don't make the same type of salary and benefits that an officer would make either. I believe, Your Honor, that I am almost out of time. I would like to mention, however, that the defendant's policy, after 6 months, the department takes a look at whether or not that person can get back into duty. And the reason why it took so long in Mr. Doner's case is because his first doctor kept saying to the department that, yes, Mr. Doner is capable of performing an arrest and these physical aspects of the job. The department then hired a doctor to take a look at Mr. Doner, and that doctor disagreed with his first doctor, so we had a conflict as to whether or not Mr. Doner could make a physical arrest. Finally, he went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Nationally renowned physician, Dr. Fleming, examined him, and at that time, Dr. Fleming concluded it was highly unlikely that he'd be able to perform a physical arrest. And I think it was at that time that Mr. Doner agreed that he was not able to do that anymore. In fact, worked the last few months of his duty with the department in an electric wheelchair. Unfortunately, MS is a very devastating disease. I have a great deal of sympathy for Mr. Doner. My mother died from complications from MS. So I do appreciate Mr. Doner's position. However, I believe the district court was correct here, Your Honor, looking at the law, applying the law to the facts of this case that are in the record, and came to the right conclusion. Therefore, Your Honor, I would ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court. If there are no further questions, I'm concluded. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Partridge. Mr. Hernandez, how much time? You have 1 minute, Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you. I'll try and address it quickly. I believe counsel is referring to the Miller case and the correctional case. I think the distinction is that when you're in a prison, it's a whole different context. Their whole job is within the prison confines. We talked about this police department being more than just police officers and the paramilitary component, but the civil component, which deals with the community, provides administrative staff. That's what they do. If it's a marginal function, just because they call it something, doesn't make it so. The reality is they have people that have these jobs that don't do field work, don't do arrests, don't chase officers. That's what they openly admit that.
Do they go out to the waterfront when the festival is on? Do they have to go out when the KKK moves in?
I have no reason to dispute that, but I will also say that nonetheless there's still a need for the administrative staff. That never stops. Because no office can operate without its administrative staff. There's the people on the street, and then there's the people that operate the system on and behind the scenes, because you're still going to need the info desk, you're still going to need the PSP people, so that you can have the police department at the original main station still dealing with it.
Now, will the record tell us that every sworn officer, let's see, how can I put this, that, well, there are so many sworn officers, and any time a sworn officer is doing the work of a non-sworn officer, that's one less sworn officer that's available.
I think consistent with their sworn officer policy, the department wants these officers to do this type of job. So this is what they're assigned to, this is the job they do, and we're talking about those jobs I've listed to you previously. So, you know, it's not like they're off the street. These are the people that help do the overall job, which is more than just what the defendant suggests, which is basically all the street cops going out making arrests and doing what they do on the street, because that's not the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
I ask this court to please reverse this district court.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken.